God's words alone be spoken. May God's words alone be heard. Amen.
Amen.
How many of y'all like to kind of strip peanuts? You know, Charlie Brown? Did you get done watching the Charlie Brown Halloween, right? You know, with the pumpkin patch? I love them. Best shows. And there's a Peanuts cartoon where Lucy tells Charlie Brown, "I have examined my life and have found it to be without flaw. Therefore, I'm going to hold a ceremony and present myself with a medal. I will then give a moving acceptance speech. After that, I'll greet myself in the receiving line." And then she concludes somewhat sadly, "When you're perfect, you have to do everything yourself." Lucy is a saint of her own making. Today we celebrate the Feast of All Saints when we remember those who have gone before us, the communion of saints. Now, even as we remember them, it is doubtful that any of us would say they were perfect people. We loved them, and they loved us. But despite Lucy Van Pelt's assertion, perfection really is impossible for humans. So it's a good thing that God doesn't expect that of us. See, All Saints isn't about perfect people who have died. It's about recognizing that God asks ordinary people to do extraordinary things. As Robert Louis Stevenson once said, "The saints are the sinners who keep on going." The saints are the sinners who keep on going. Now, I'm quite sure that it has not gone unnoticed by anyone that we have an election in 2 days. Anybody not know that we have an election in 2 days? I'm saying. Now, one could reasonably argue that having survived this political onslaught for the past 18 months or so, that we are indeed eligible for a medal. Not so much for perfection, but certainly for endurance, or should I say stamina. Now, I think in many ways everyone can understand the words of the prophet Daniel this morning when he says, "My spirit was troubled within me, and the visions of my head terrified me." I feel that way every time I turn on the TV news. We're a deeply troubled and divided nation, with beasts of our own making rising up all around us. Not mythical creatures of the sea, as Daniel portends, but very real, very dangerous beasts. The beasts of hate, anger, derision, and violence. It's a time when we can long for the Matthew version of the Beatitudes. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." But that's not what we hear in the gospel this morning. See, the gospel of Luke wasn't focused on the esoteric pursuit of spiritual renewal, but on addressing the very real need of people who are actually hungry and thirsty, poor in means, whose very ability to live day to day were in doubt. But there's another difference too. Jesus doesn't talk about those who are blessed as some other they. Blessed are they who are poor. But to the people right there, "Blessed are you who are poor, you who are hungry." The need is present there right in front of him and his disciples, and it's present here with us too. The anguish of this election season has been seen in the very real angst of the forgotten and the lost, their pain coming out of the very real fears of a changing world in which everything they know about how to work and live is fading into the past. And fear can be a very dangerous incubator for intolerance and hate, which, if festering long enough and given a voice, can erupt into the most vile and horrific ways that do nothing to help, but to spread fear further in an ever-expanding web of darkness. Perhaps that's at the core of why Jesus and Luke is focused on those who are poor, hungry, and thirsty, because he knows that from great need can come great fear, which can manifest itself in ways that push those very people even further away from feeling the love of God. And he looks up at his disciples. Now, did you notice that? He looks up at his disciples. This is not the Sermon on the Mount. That's Matthew. This is the Sermon on the Plains, It's a very clear and purposeful distinction the author is making. Jesus was among the people. Not looking down from some perch on a mountain, but among them. And he looks up and he tells his disciples, "But I say to you that, listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you." Now, I sometimes think he should have added, "For nothing will annoy your enemies more." To be clear, Jesus isn't telling us who are listening that we should allow ourselves to be abused. Not at all. He is saying that we should not allow that abuse to be continued by holding tightly to our anger and desire for revenge, because that only condemns us to that deep and dark place out of which hatred is born. So what does this all mean in this time of election anxiety, derision, and angst? Well, it means that on November 9th, we will have work to do. We will have work to do. The very everyday work of being a saint of the church. Yeah, all y'all are saints of the church. See, being a saint isn't about dying, but about living. The saints are the sinners who keep on going. And for those who are new here, sin is just a turning away from God. That's all it is, turning away from the love and relationship of God. You see, in our baptism, we already died to the things that would hold us back, and we are reborn into a life that propels us to keep on going. We are sealed and marked as Christ's own forever and part of the household of God, and we become the living saints of the church. Now, after the service, you can go and tell all your friends you're a saint. See what their reaction is. And today, we welcome into that life little Christopher Cash O'Neill, who will become the newest saint of the church. And I made sure his parents knew that his crying is all welcome in this church. So he can cry all he wants. It's his day. Now, I'm sure his parents will find that his sainthood does not result in perfection, pure godliness, or life without difficulty. It won't mean he's going to eat all of his broccoli, or get straight A's, or respect his parents at every turn. Because if that were true, there would be lines outside of every church door with parents, loads of parents wanting their kids to be baptized or rebaptized thinking it didn't take the first time, right? But that's not what sainthood in the church is all about. It's not about doing everything right or being perfect, but about being who God has created and called us to be, every single one of us. All of us are called to be saints. And it doesn't mean life will be easy. I remember somebody saying, some days everything goes right. I'm sure you've had days like that, right? And some days everything goes wrong. I'm sure you've had those days too. Some days it's good morning, God, and other days it's good God, it's morning. Usually on Mondays, right? Of course, nearly all the days of our lives fall somewhere in between these two extremes, thankfully. A steady diet of either one would succeed in making us either insufferably arrogant or incapacitatingly depressed. What this sainthood we are called to live into does mean is that we're not without meaning or purpose, if we only will open ourselves to the Christ that bids us to listen. If we will, as the author of Ephesians this morning speaks about, set our hopes on Christ. Then we're able to authentically be the saints we were baptized to be. And it also means that this life of a saint isn't for solo artists, much to Lucy Van Pelt's astonishment, I'm sure. It's something we do together. As is true for all baptisms, not only will Cash's parents make a commitment on his behalf to raise him in this new life in Christ, but we will too. As a faith community, make that same commitment to nurture him as he grows. It's a model of interdependence, grounded in love, that's also a message we bring out to the world. We need each other. We need each other. And our own well-being is tied to the well-being of everyone else around us. We cannot claim to love our neighbor when we do nothing in the face of their pain, their hunger, and their thirst. This earthly life we live is a temporary one in which we're able to do great things in the smallest of ways. Our saintly existence is a day-to-day struggle to remember our real purpose, which isn't to amass great wealth, but to expand the experience of God's love. It isn't to build up empires, but to tear down walls. It isn't to gain the light of star-like fame, but to be a beacon of hope. And when we feel lost, and we will, when we feel like we have nothing to give, when we feel like the weight of the world is pulling us down from our calling, when we feel darkness overshadowing our ability to be the saints of light, when we forget who we are, it's then that perhaps we need to remember these words by the entertainer, Gracie Allen, fave of mine, who said, "Never put a period where God has placed a comma. Never put a period where God has placed a comma." And that comma, that is what we come to know here, in this place we call Christ Church. Nurtured at this table and strengthened by this community of faith, a community made possible by the saints who have gone on before us, we remember that darkness and death never has the last word in our lives, but light and life do. That's what All Saints celebrates, this continuity of sainthood, the living and the living, those here now and those who are alive in the light of God who we no longer see. And it's when we thank those of this church with names like Arnott and Martinac and Brinkerhoff and so many more who made it possible for this new life now. Because they understood that their death was not just a comma in the grand scheme of things. What was just a comma in the grand scheme of things. And that more of their life in Christ needed to continue. The sentence still needed to be written. And so as we do every Sunday in stewardship season, today you will be given a gift, blessed at the altar. And today, it's a construction hat. Now, just so you know, I wouldn't use this for any real protection stemming from construction, but it's a reminder that the infrastructure project we just completed, which will breathe new life into the church and the nursery school, was possible only because each of you who pledged to the church, but most especially those saints, the faithful departed, who remembered the importance of this parish as a place where one can set their hopes on Christ. They didn't do this because Jesus calls us to build beautiful buildings, but because Jesus calls us to build a life of love and service. And because of what happens here, we are able to live as disciples in the world. We're able to offer a nursery school that is based on an ideal of ministry, not profit making. We're able to serve the poor and forgotten in our food and animal ministries. We're able to ensure that LGBT people know that they are beloved children of God just the way they are, just as God created them to be. We're able to call out injustice where we see it and work toward a day when all people will know the fullness of God's all-abiding love and grace. It doesn't take a hero's heart, but a humble one, to make a difference in the lives of others, to change the world. It just takes a willingness to be the ones who keep going, to not mistake a period for a comma. There's a story about one who kept going. His name was Elziard Bouffier, and his home was in the countryside near the French Alps, where mountains and meadows come together. He had lost his wife, son, and farmhouse during the terrors of World War I. And sought solace in the silence of his loneliness. The country Bouffier settled in had once been beautiful, but no more. War machines had crushed it, armies had deforested and devastated it. There was barely enough grass to nourish his small flocks, and even when he had to keep moving, he had to keep moving on to find new pastures. Gradually, Elziard Bouffier became convinced that it was the terrible lack of trees that was keeping his land so blighted, and all who lived within it struggling to maintain a mere subsistence level of existence. And so Bouffier began to plant trees. Every day as he wandered the empty, pitted land, he carried with him the seeds of a new forest. He used his shepherd's crook to poke a planting hole for each seed, and thus dropped in the potential for a new tree with every step he took. On a good day, Elziard could plant nearly 1,000 seeds. Bouffier continued to plant trees from seed for the next 50 years. He planted different types of forests, beech, oak, birch, maple. And slowly the seeds took root and matured, and gradually a miracle was born over the face of that devastated land. Where there had been once been barren waste, there stood forests. Streams that had clogged with eroded earth began to flow again and feed the meadows. Farms and whole communities were once again able to claim this region as a fruitful and joyous home. Elzéar Bouffier was neither saint nor sinner. He was both. And though he intended to cut himself off from his fellow human beings, he succeeded in shepherding a reborn creation into existence and brought a new possibility of life to his neighbors. He refused to put a period where God had placed a comma and stepped into that next part of his life one seed at a time. In other words, Bouffier was the one who kept going, doing the small things that reaped miracles in a lifetime. So the questions are, what small seeds can you plant? Can you plant that will in the end leave a mark? Where have you seen a period where God has placed a comma? No matter what the outcome, November 9th is not a period in the ever-flowing sentence of God, but a comma. We have the ability to be part of the next phrase which God is still speaking and calling us to live this life of a saint in a world so much in need. A world where people are still being sold into slavery. A world where people are killed for the color of their skin, the God that they worship or for who they love, or for the crime of being female. A world where our Native American brothers and sisters stand defiant against all odds to protect God's creation from abuse. A world in which leaders that traffic in hate and fear find a voice on the backs of the oppressed. We are the saints today, the ones who are called to keep going, the ones to see the comma, not the period, and forge ahead, the ones Jesus beckons to listen. Let us be the saints whom others find life in, the knowledge of God's grace and love, changing the world, one small seed of hope at a time. Amen.